Scott Spears back with you here on this Wednesday, March the 25th, 2020, 15 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program, and we are going to continue with our COVID-19 coronavirus coverage here on this station. Yesterday, we had Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler on and Mayor Scott Schertzer, and today we're going to talk with somebody who's also very important to the County of Marion about things going on. But momentarily, I do want to let you know that the old-fashioned farm breakfast at the Morrill United Methodist Church canceled for Saturday, March the 28th, due to the coronavirus outbreak, so don't go there. And also on this paper, prayers from the Morrill United Methodist Church to everybody in Marion. Now, to talk about some things, a stay-at-home order is in place, and certainly this is important to a lot of people. We're always glad to welcome him in. Certainly wish it was under better circumstances, but the sheriff of Marion County, Tim Bailey. Sheriff Bailey, how are you?
Good morning, Scott. Thanks for having me. I'm well today. Thank you.
Yeah. The last 2 weeks seems like it's been a lot longer than that. How has this affected law enforcement in Marion County?
Let me talk about some of the things that we're doing that to reassure the people. The 911 center, the dispatch center, is up and running, and things are going well there. They're getting a lot of calls, a lot of questions. We've had to change the way we operate on the street, for example. We get calls on, let's say, minor crimes. We're trying to take those over the phone instead of having a deputy go out and meet with an individual. So changed the way we operate a little bit, but we're still up and running full service.
Mm. When this started, did you have any idea it would be like this?
No, I did not. I've never experienced anything like this. As we were talking earlier, I've handled other disasters. I've been involved in some tornado incidents, flooding, those kind of things. But that's on a small scale, local level. But going to this magnitude is something new for us, and it was thrust upon us in terms of preparedness. And I still don't think we have all the answers yet. We're still trying to work our way through and find answers for the people.
What are people who come up to you asking at this point? What is the common questions?
So there's two common questions. One is, what's an essential business and thus an essential employee? And then the one that's coming around is martial law. Are we under martial law since we're staying at home? And the answer, short answer, is no, we are not. But trying to find a definition of an essential business and an essential employee is problematic. And we're getting calls at the dispatch center with that very question, and we're not prepared to answer that question. That is not up to us. We're going to refer people to call the public health, the Marion Public Health Department, and work that question through them.
Now, at this point, I know a lot of people were fearful of this. I know people who work at grocery stores, for example, were given a note to give to a police officer if they got pulled over. Are people being pulled over? Is that a thing?
Okay, so we're on an average day routine, we're not pulling people over. We're trying to, I don't want to say avoid contact, but we don't want to spread this disease. I certainly can't afford to have it spread through the sheriff's office. So we've backed down on that. If we find ourselves in a situation, which I would characterize as maybe someone's in an auto accident, and they're not supposed to be out, and they're just out driving around for the fun of it, you know, they may get a citation. But we're going to handle each case individually. We're going to look at it. If you're an essential employee, again, that's really not up to me to decide. Depending on the circumstances, you may have to prove that you're an essential employee.
You know, I think it has to be, it's a precarious situation in my mind. It has to be terrible in your mind to make these decisions, because if somebody's out, it's my understanding you can still go to the grocery store, you can still go to a restaurant and get carry out, but, you know, do you need to be out? I don't know. Where do you draw the line?
That's a good question. So, we're kind of using the parallel of the snow emergency. So a snow emergency, what we call a level three, closes the roads. And driving on a closed road is against the law. And I can't say that we've issued, probably less than five tickets in 20 years. We just don't go out and force ourselves on people. But when people, not everyone is in compliance with the law, and if we have to enforce the law, we will in those rare circumstances.
It's interesting because police officers do come in contact with people when they pull them over, speeding, whatever it is. Are there any special precautions being taken place during this time to not get close to people?
All right. So, again, we do not do a lot of traffic enforcement. It's just our nature. We leave that up to the highway patrol. They're the traffic experts. So our people rarely do a traffic stop. But in those instances where, give you the example, the example I use is that someone calls in and says their bicycle was stolen off their porch, we will take the report over the phone. Now, if there's some evidence to go along with it, if someone says my bicycle was stolen, but I have a security camera and I have some film, we're going to go to the house, we're going to talk to the people, we're going to ask them to step outside and keep the social distance, gather the information, gather the evidence, and complete the report and maybe a follow-up investigation. But direct contact is limited. Actually, we've locked down the sheriff's office on Executive Drive. We share that building with the Marion City Schools Administration and a company called Meta. And so it's not like it's just a sheriff's office, but we have limited the number of people that have access and come into that building.
When you go out in public today, as you are right now, how much does this worry you? Is it on your mind constantly?
Yes. Excuse me. Yes, yeah. It is. It's the foremost issue we have right now. And, we're rearranging our people's schedules and so forth. But it's at the forefront. Everything else has taken a back seat.
You know, I think about this thing, and like I said, it came on so fast. Have you ever seen anything that has impacted so many people?
No, I have not. I did not, while I'm a senior, I did not live through the Depression. I've heard my parents talk about that, World War II. But I don't think anything that in our current lifetime has impacted the entire nation like this has.
I want to talk a little bit about, because I believe a lot of the grocery stores and department stores are in the county. I've seen fights, not a whole lot, but I've seen some over silly things. What's going on out there?
You know, I don't know that I can answer that question. When you go to the stores and you see that the toilet paper's gone and this and that's gone, and yet one of my employees went to Delaware and the shelves were full. So I can't say what's going on. I do know that in the past we've had a couple of calls that that customers are, I'm not sure that they were fighting, but there was some friction there. So what I've done is I've asked my plainclothes people just to start mingling through the stores, watch this, see what's going on. We're not seeing any great upheaval in the stores. People are there, they want to shop and they want to get out. So
where would you rate the panic level on this event?
Well, I guess I would look at it this way. If you've ever been out on 95 East, where a lot of the stores and the restaurants are, at noon, it's bumper to bumper, almost from the old Catholic High School out to 23. And I've been out there the last couple days, and I would say it's probably one-third of the traffic. So I think that we're seeing people that are abiding by the stay-at-home order and the request. Panic, I'm not sure we're in a panic mode yet. I think there's a heightened awareness and a heightened concern of people. I'm not sure people get the long-term issue of this, that it's going to be over in a couple weeks, that if you're self-quarantine for 14 days, then I'm good. I can go back out. I'm not sure that's hit home yet. I think this is going to be a long-term event going into the summer.
Does the sheriff's office and local law enforcement have a plan to deal with that?
Well, we're going to stay. We've done things like we've canceled all leaves. All of our people are on duty unless they had some specific, maybe, I don't know that anyone has a cruise now, but for those that had maybe some investment into a vacation. But all in all, all of the employees' time off has been canceled. We're going to continue as is. We're going to address this. We're somewhat reactionary anyway, so we're going to handle it as it develops and see where it goes.
Is there testing, not necessarily coronavirus testing, but is there, do we check the temperatures of the deputies at this point? The things that we never thought we'd be talking about.
That's right. So, yes, we went out, we acquired some thermometers. Everyone that enters the sheriff's office, our own employees, they sign in and we get their temperature. And it's my understanding, I've talked with the chief, Bill Collins, these thermometers were not meant for this, let's say, industrial type of temperature. So they're breaking left and right. So we're having to go to the store every couple of days and try to find a thermometer. But again, limiting contact and trying to keep business as usual. And we're seeing the call load is coming down. The calls to the dispatch center are leveling off. This is kind of the new normal. And if it continues like this, I think we're good.
I want to go back to this essential business question, because that should just happen this past Sunday. And I know that it's certainly no shock that one of the big stories was Whirlpool, because people were saying, well, is this an essential business? I think one of the Columbus TV stations came down here and did a story on it. They like to do that. What happens in a situation like that? Is that just deal with your HR office and the health department? And
so there is a list. There's a federal list, and there's a state list of recommended essential businesses. And then when you get to Whirlpool, they're our largest employer. There's a lot of people out there. And so the question has been posed, are they an essential business? If you look under the guidelines, they are. They make appliances. They still have to adhere to the guidelines, which is the social distancing. So if you have two people on a line and they're elbow to elbow, that's not practicing good prevention. So they're expected, we're talking about Whirlpool, and I'm sure they're working to get into compliance, that they're going to have to space these people apart and monitor them for the individuals for illness. They need to, if they're ill, they need to send them home.
Now, is this something that would fall to the health department or to the sheriff's office?
Well, it falls to the health department. So if there is a business, and I don't want to pick on Whirlpool, but any of the businesses that if you think they're not essential, if they're not in compliance, if you report it to the sheriff's office, we're going to refer you to the public health department. They'll send someone out to look at it, and they'll try to work with the business to determine, are you practicing social distancing, and what are you doing, and so forth, and try to mitigate that. If it's a case where it's definitely a violation, then the health department will call us to go out and see if we can't intervene. We're not out trying to arrest people, because arresting people just puts them in a jail and puts them in another crowded environment. So we're going to try to work with these people to get them to adhere to this so we can stop the spread. Worst case scenario is the health department would go to the Common Pleas Court, get an injunction. The injunction would order the sheriff to go padlock the business. And that's an extreme that, you know, we don't even want to go there. That's not something we're looking forward to to doing?
That is a big question, because we don't know really what the laws are in this situation, because we've never been faced with this before. You know, if you aren't standing 6 feet from somebody, if you are not taking people's temperature and you're a business, if you are out and you shouldn't be out, are these now crimes, or is this something where somebody's going to say, stop doing that?
We're just going to say, stop doing that. I know people that don't watch the news, they don't listen to the radio, they don't want to read the newspaper or anything, and maybe sometimes it's simply a case of education. We need to explain to these people that, and I don't mean to be overly dramatic or anything, but someone said, well, what's the penalty? And I'm saying the penalty's death. You can die from this if you don't practice good hygiene. And I don't know how you get that through to people. We have some young people we've seen all on the news down in Florida on the beaches that are not practicing that, and we find that some of the middle-aged, the younger students in middle age are also being stricken with this disease. So the only way we're going to get through this is if we stop what we're currently doing and practice good hygiene.
Now, the stay-at-home order, I did find one thing interesting in there. It did say that, you know, you're not going to be pulled over. That's not going to be happening. Right. But that if there is a group, I think it's a 5 or more at this point, 10 or more, something
right,
like that,
right, that
could happen. That if a congregation was getting together, whoever it was, that is that something that you and your group, if you saw it, you'd come in and break that up at this point?
I guess if we did see it, and depending on where it is, if it's out in a public place and it doesn't fit under the guidelines, we might stop and say, you know, you need to practice social distancing and go forward. The sheriff has the authority in the police department too. I'm not excluding them, but we have the authority to enforce the orders of the public health department. But we're not interested in arresting people and making this punitive. We're interested in people voluntarily coming in compliance with the order. At first, it was a suggestion that, I guess you could say it was a suggestion, you stay home, and now it's an order. And again, we're not interested in going out and arresting people and throwing them in jail. Worst case scenario, we might give them a citation. They're going to have to go to court at a later time. But again, we're going to try to encourage people, take a soft approach, that you need to comply with the order.
With the newness of this all, how hard is it to get everybody on the same page? Because this has never happened before.
Well, in terms of government, in terms of my office, we're meeting every day with Chief Collins, his staff, Ray Grogan, the prosecutor, and my staff. We meet every day and talk about the issues that are going on. We meet regularly. We meet weekly with Tracy Kinsler, the director, and her staff, but that's really kind of misleading because we talk with her almost daily, if not over the phone, by email. We're constantly in contact. We'd like to believe that those of us in the local, at the local level, are communicating and working through this and trying to answer people's questions.
And on that note, from the panic level, being in contact with Ray and Tracy and everybody involved, how, I don't even like using this term, but how bad is it in Marion right now? What is the situation here?
In terms of panic?
Panic.
I think that what you see is at the grocery stores.
Yeah.
I think that's...
No toilet paper.
And I think that's where you see the thrust of people coming together. And if there is, if you want to use the term panic, but I think they are trying to prepare for a long-term stay-at-home order. So all in all, I think things are going relatively smoothly at the moment. Like I was saying, that when you look at what was thrust upon us in the last 3 weeks, The last couple of days have kind of mellowed out, and it's kind of a new normal, and things are, I think, getting to where they're going to be in the long term.
Governor DeWine and Tracy Kinsler, who's been on this show, everybody has said we have not plateaued yet with this, that the plateau probably will happen in April, maybe beginning of May, we don't know, but that's when it's going to reach the highest numbers. Apparently, this is supposed to be a bad week. The Surgeon General of the United States said that on the Today Show last week. This is going to be... is there any worry or just maybe precautiousness knowing that the numbers are going to continue to go up, it's going to continue to change for another month at this point?
So, it's hard to go back and remember what day was what, but I think we're the number is 4 in Marion County. I'm told that mathematically, just do the math on all of these people, that there are more people in Marion that are probably carriers. And so, you know, with that in mind, I think we're going to see an increase. The health department is monitoring these people. They're under self-quarantine. They're all, as I understand it, very cooperative. They're not being defiant and, you know, I'm going to go out and go to the grocery store. I think that you're going to see an increase, but it would certainly be nice if this was the top number for us right now. So,
you know, it's interesting because people are staying home now, certainly in greater numbers. Kids are certainly at home because the schools are closed. Has crime went down, or do we even know at this point?
So what we're seeing, and I talked with the chief yesterday, Chief Collins, and that is juvenile crime calls are up, probably because these kids are at home and they're mischievous. We anticipated, and we're seeing a rise in the domestics or internal family disputes. One guy was upset because his live-in girlfriend got laid off, and that started a confrontation. And so, again, we go to these calls, we try to handle them, we try to get people to calm down, and move on. It's inevitable.
This is a big part of it, because right now we're not really sure about the stimulus. I'm sure something's going to come from the federal government, we would hope, at some point. But at some point, this is not only going to be medical, it's going to be financial.
It is.
And that's going to hit Marion as well. It's going to hit everybody else.
And I think about this constantly. I know if you know my personal life, you see my wife and out. My wife and I and daughter are out. We go out to dinner a couple times a week. We know a lot of the servers out there, and these businesses are closed. Those people, a lot of them live from paycheck to paycheck, and that's going to have a huge impact on them. And I just, it really touches me that, you know, what can we do for these people? And, you know, we'd like to see something come down from the federal government that helps these people out. I hope it happens.
One of the big questions is, and I know we just don't know at this point, but, you know, if I would imagine if you're one of those people, if it's pay your rent or eat, you're probably going to eat. And at this point, when it comes to it, what advice would you give to maybe somebody who's renting to somebody? Because a normal process would be, if you don't pay your rent, we're going to file an eviction claim, and then that whole process is going to play out.
Well, I think it goes one step further. Is you have the tenant, then you have the homeowner or the landlord, but then you have the mortgage company. And we would hope that the mortgage company would take some kind of action where they would step back, give a 30, 60, 90 day leeway to get through this. And I would hope that there would be some movement in that direction. We got an order, I think it was Monday of this week, that when someone doesn't pay, the landlord can go to the court. The court gives the sheriff an order to evict these people. And we're going to try to work with the tenant and the landlord and see if we can't find some long-term solution instead of just going to the house tomorrow, taking all the furniture and putting it on the curb. That's not acceptable in these times right now. So you know, the homeowner has the right to the property and they want their money because oftentimes they have a mortgage to pay. And so it just runs through the whole line. I hope that I hope there are people that are compassionate and take care of each other instead of just being adamant.
I saw somebody, it was on the national news the other night, but where the landlord, and I'm not saying everybody can do this, but had dropped the rent to $100, you know, because he said, listen, we're in this together.
Right.
And that's a nice thing.
Yeah, that is a nice thing. And but again, if you're out of work and you're one of these people that you're not eligible for unemployment because you don't make a certain amount of money or you haven't worked the last 20 weeks or whatever, then I don't know the intricacies of the unemployment law, but there are people, they don't have that money. So the $100 would certainly be helpful, but for some of them, $100 is $100 too much. So, are we our brother's keeper? Do we really want to get through this together? People need to stay home. They need to mellow out, and we need to work together on to get through this thing.
You know, the one of the interesting circular situations that I have noticed is that we are only 2 weeks in. I don't think people have gotten to that paycheck yet where nothing's going to show up because we just, this is new. It's fairly new. When that happens, instead of, I don't know what people will do when they can't get food. I don't know what will happen, but there are places where you can still get food if you're in need of help.
Right. So the governor called out the National Guard to help with the food banks and so forth. Meals on Wheels is a program. It's in Marion, and my staff, not to get off this, but so the schools are closed, so our school resource officers are not in the schools. So I have some people that are being redirected and rescheduled, and we're doing these Meals on Wheels. We're volunteering on Thursday and Friday. We put a little army together to go out and take meals to those that are shut in, that can't get out. So I'm not sure how you get on the list, but there's, as you say, there are certainly avenues out there where people can get help, and we'll help them out any way we can.
The senior population, there are a lot of seniors in our community. We have a lot of retirement homes.
Yeah.
I think nursing homes are a little different because they feed those people.
Right.
Retirement homes are different. They are expected to get their own food in most cases. If you're a senior and you're scared to death to go out, how would you advise them? Because they're in that risk category.
Okay, so we have what we call a senior watch program. We've had it for 4 or 5 years. I have a deputy that she compiles a list of individuals, usually elderly people, and she will go to their house, check on them once or twice a week to make sure everything is okay. That started out in Prospect and has grown to go throughout the county. If you have a relative, your grandmother or your someone in your family is a senior and you want us to check on them, call our office. We'll put them on the list. We'll check with them. If we can help them with social services in any way, we'll do what we can. I know Job and Family Services right now is just overwhelmed with tasks that have been thrust on them through this event. But we try to help out those in need when we can. Call us. We'll see what we can do.
Before this all started, the Wednesday before it all went nuts, of course the sheriff's office is working on investigations, is working on things in the community. How has it changed that aspect of what's going on?
So I have to count the number, that we have people in the Marmot Drug Task Force. And I have two deputies there, and I think there's three police officers, a BCI agent, and so forth. So we've essentially stopped that program and pulled those deputies back to patrol duties or reassigned them. Now they did a drug bust here this week. Actually, they did two of them, and they were very successful. But we're scaling that down. investigations are being scaled down because we're not going out on every call. I think it's we're not trying to slight people. If someone's adamant that we come out and take a report and collect evidence, we will do that. But again, we're trying to mitigate this thing and reduce the contact with people.
Is there any worry or apprehension at this point about the people who are in the jail or who are incarcerated with us?
Yes. I certainly have somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 people in the jail out there, and they're confined, they're in close contact, and I know that the administration out there is, they're working constantly to watch and make sure that this disease does not enter the jail. So any inmate that's coming in is screened at the door before they come in. And they have a medical unit there that they can, it's a negative pressure room, I think it is, and they can put them in there. Because the jail's overcrowded and we're having to house inmates in other jails, before we even move them to another jail, they're screened, because these other facilities around the state share our same concern. The jails are, and the prisons are, a close quarters facility, so they're not going to take them. The other jail is not going to take our inmate if he's got a fever, and they're going to check. So we're doing all these checks constantly before we move prisoners.
A lot of people have asked me this week, you know, the stay-at-home order is pretty drastic. I don't even believe during World War II that happened. I don't know why it would have. So this may be the first time that this has ever been invoked, certainly within the 20th or 21st century. When you see something like that, what does it tell you?
What does it say to you?
That this has never happened before, that this is really unprecedented.
It's really... I think we're living through history right now, that I think we'll get through this and we'll look back upon it and think, wow, that was a trying time. Like my experience in the military, it was one of the greatest experiences in my life, and I never want to do it again. Mm-hmm. So I kind of look at this the same way.
Are there more restrictions? Because I don't think we thought we'd get here. I don't think we thought we'd get to a stay-at-home order. Yeah. Can it get tighter at this point? Is there anything else that could be done?
Well, I mean, you could ramp up enforcement, which you know, we had a teleconference call with the governor the other night, and you know, I repeat this again, we're not out to force people into compliance, but you know, we're asking them, and if they don't, then you might certainly get to that point. I know that people are asking about the National Guard. So if you call out the National Guard, you're going to call out doctors out of the ER and nurses and lab techs and firemen and police officers off of their day jobs and then reassign them somewhere else. So I'm not sure that's a smart or productive move. And I know that's what the governor is thinking, that if I call out the guard, I'm just robbing communities of these essential people. So I don't know that we're ever going to get to that part. I think that we need to see, we need to monitor this over the next few weeks and see if this thing peaks out or if it's a gradual curve and we're seeing, you know, compliance. My concern is that you know, the president's talking about, you know, in 2 weeks people go back out. And my concern before he ever announced that was we allow people to go back to their normal lives, they're interacting, and then we get a rebound of this and we have to go through it again. So I'd like to go through it one time. It's going to be tough. Everyone needs to hunker down and I hate to use the word, but suffer through this, do the best you can, and let's see where it goes.
When you drive through Marion, as you did today, is traffic and parking lot, the size of parking lots, is it what it should be during a stay-at-home order?
Yes, I think there's a lot of people that are following the order, or they're in compliance. I mentioned that going out 95, at the lunch hour is bumper to bumper, people going to lunch at in the noon hour. And I was out through there the last couple of days, and the traffic's by about a third. Certainly some of the restaurants are closed, so those parking lots are empty. So you get to the big box stores, you get to Meijer's and the Walmart, and even their parking lots are a little bit thinner than they were. But people are allowed to go to the grocery store. They're allowed to go pick up food, they pick up medicine, pick up essentials. And so you're still going to have, you're not going to have parking lots completely empty. There are people that are still going to be out and still be moving and are allowed to do so for these certain reasons. But I think we're moving in the right direction. Let's keep it going that way.
How has, because I was thinking about this the other day, 9/11 would have been the last real national crisis that I think we faced.
Yeah.
So we're talking close 20 years ago. This is the first one that's ever happened during the height of social media. How has that affected?
And it's funny you mentioned that because as a pilot, right after, well, on 9/11, all the planes were ordered to land. And it was just, for me as a pilot, it was just mind-boggling that there were no planes in the sky. And now we're going through a similar type thing where people are not supposed to be out. And now we have the social media. We have information sharing that is just, I can't put my phone down. I'm getting professional emails, let's say, a ton of them an hour, and then I get all the ads and so forth. But the misinformation is tough to differentiate. And some of my briefings with the FBI and Homeland Security is that Russia is still providing misinformation, disinformation. And so I would just caution people, but, you know, be careful what you read. My mother said, you know, don't believe everything you read and everything you hear. And I think that's good advice from 50 years ago. So take it all and absorb it as a whole, not, well, I read this and that's the truth and this is what's happening. That's not always the case. There's some really fake news out there.
You know, because it happens all the time, not even in just in this horrible situation we're in. But have you ever been able to derive why people do that? What is the... phony stuff to clearly panic people. It's not a joke. It's not satire. It's not comedy.
Oh, I think... I think that oftentimes they do it as a joke, just to sow disharmony and so forth. And then again, you get some of this. Again, reading an article, you know, Russia's putting stuff out there. Whenever they see that we're in discourse on an issue, then they flood it and try to make it even worse than it is. So be careful what you read. It's not all true.
On the level, just because of this panic issue, not just with panic, but with the illness, how do you rate this talking with the people in the city? How seriously is this being taken? How dangerous could this be?
Well, I think it's a matter that it's extremely dangerous, and I get this primarily from Dr. Acton and the staff over at the Public Health Department that... some of us are more susceptible than others, but we all can be susceptible to getting this. I mean, it's not just, you know, put on a bulletproof vest and you're not Superman and it's good. I think it has to be an effort by everyone. The sheriff's not going to solve this. Dr. Acton's not going to solve this. We are in this thing together, and we need to pull together to get through it. And I think, and I go back to this. I think people are in compliance. I think people that it seems like, you know, there are businesses that are open that need to be open, and you have employees that are driving going to work. You have people going to the store. You have people picking up medicine and so forth. But do your due diligence. Go to the store. Go back home.
This is just an opinion question, but, you know, you watch those press conferences at 2 o'clock every day. You watch the president speak. You watch or you listen to local officials speak. Do you think that people, and we'll just speak to Marion because that's where we are, do you think people really yet get the severity of it?
If you'd have asked me that on Friday last week, I would have said no. I think there are people out there that don't believe this is serious, that it's a hoax, that it's made up by the news media, the fake news, and the political parties, and so forth. I would have said, you know, to get people to stay home is not working. Now that he put down the order, I think you see a reaction of that, that that order has people in compliance. There are people out there that, like we talked about these kids on the beach in Florida, they don't believe they can get it. But I think this week we're seeing a drastic change in the people and the number of people that are out there.
You know, I would talk about the seniors for a second again, because it's my understanding they're not the only ones who can get it, certainly, but they're a high-risk group.
Right.
And I know a lot of stores have went to an hour just for the seniors and
yeah,
that sort of
right,
thing.
Right.
Do you think the seniors have gotten it this whole time? It seems like they have.
I think they have.
Yeah.
I can't give you any statistics on this, but I think, like you, just the impression is that the at-risk group gets it, and they're doing their part to stay healthy, stay away from it.
For people who have illnesses like asthma or things like that, what should they be doing?
Well, obviously that the social distancing is probably the number one. If you're going to be around people, manage the distance. We have, again, we have a meeting every day in my office, and fortunately now we have an office that's large enough that we can sit around the room and be at a distance with each other. So those people that have pre-existing illnesses know who they are, and they know how to take care of themselves probably better than most people. And I think that they know that they cannot allow themselves to get into a situation or an environment that's going to cause them trouble.
Just speaking, we have about 3 minutes left here, just speaking to the citizens of Marion, because I do believe panic is still there, and I do believe it's worrisome. What, as the sheriff, could you say to them at this point that would maybe make them a little less apprehensive?
Well, I would like them to think that, you know, we're not just sitting on our hands, that we are meeting daily. We're talking about issues, talking about how we can help these people. That includes Tracy and her staff at the health department, the police department, certainly the dispatch center, open and running. It's locked down, can't get in there, but you know, they provide the service for EMS and the fire, and our first responders, and I would have to include the healthcare workers, are doing what we can to make life manageable for these people. I'm not sure we're going to make it better, but let's keep this thing going and not let it spread.
Things at the hospital seem to be going okay at this point?
So I understand. I have not had any contact with the hospital, but I understand they're under lockdown, that they're doing testing today on Barks Road at their facility, at Ohio Health's facility there. We have, through the health department, we've talked with them about setting up a triage if this thing gets to a level where we have to do that. So that's kind of in the planning stage. My concern is the dispatch center is the lifeline to this community. I cannot afford to have those 18 people out sick, and I've got to make sure that that thing keeps running. I would just reassure the people that were out there working, if they have some suggestions, and share with us. If you have someone that's in crisis, let us know.
And right now, there are plans being put into place. I think that reassures people.
Yeah.
Because that's very important. And in the long term, when we look back on this on the other side, how do you think we will look back on a medical crisis?
I'm not sure how to answer that. This is not in my field of expertise.
Yeah,
I'm a cop. And you're asking me a question I'm not sure I have an answer. But I know back during World War II, they did rationing, and you know, you couldn't buy this and you couldn't buy that, and it affected everyone. But this, I think, goes deeper, broader, wider. It affects everyone, and I think we have to I think we have to come together, we have to pull together, we have to make sure that we're doing the right thing to get through this. And I don't know when the end is. I agree with Tracy Kinsler. I think we're looking at July. So think in the long term, be prepared for the long term. And if it's not long term, wonderful. But if it is a long term, we can get through it. Mm.
Sheriff Tim Bailey, I can't thank you enough for coming in, and we'll stay in touch, and hopefully we'll all come out on the other side.
Thanks, Scott. Yeah. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Stay tuned.
Pen and ticket and run for president of the United States.
What inspired this?
A lot of the situations where it's quite evident that it's time. Everything must change. If there were no caterpillars, there'd be no butterflies.